So if you were here last week, or if you listened online last week, then you know that I started a three-week series by explaining the nature and purpose of the church. Like, so what is the church? What is it for? We looked at how God created the church, how from the beginning of time he worked through and brought about the church that we know as it is. And then we narrowed in on Ephesians 1 through 3. We narrowed it down to look at the church as God's people, as diverse people, as a group of worshipers meant to worship him and be together, all centered around the blood of Jesus. And if you remember last week, the image was a stool, a three-legged stool, where we had three images of the church that were meant to convey health and what it means to be focused as a church. And so we saw three legs, which it needs. We saw family or relationships that a church must have. We saw an organization that the church must have. And we saw the mission that the church must keep. We can't lose any of those or the whole stool falls apart. Family, organization, mission. We must have all three of those. Well, today I'm going to take that and we're going to talk now going forward. Where is the future of the church? Where's the church going? Where are we as a church headed? Because one of the main problems in our society today, in my life, in your life, is that we get tyrannized by the urgent. Like, we don't think beyond what's in the moment, what is going on right now. We never think about our future. So we kind of get caught off guard sometimes. We don't think about it. Well, the Bible constantly talks about our future. Not just like, where am I going to school? Not just future a couple years from now. It talks about eternity for us. It's consistently reminding us of what's coming. Now, I know there's debate, there's questions about timing and all those things of how it's going to work out. But there's one thing we can all agree on, that King Jesus is coming back for his people. So we know that that's true. And I want you to hear this beautiful picture that Revelation 21 gives of where the church is headed. It's Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth that what we're on right now had passed away. The sea was no more. And I saw this holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, God, saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is now with man. He'll dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. So that, church, is the picture of where we're headed. That's the future of the church. That's where we will end up. And like I said last week, we have to keep the gospel central, because it's only those who have turned to Jesus, who have repented of their sin, trusted in Christ in their place, who will end up in that situation. Only those who are believers will get there. Only those who've seen the holiness of God, have been confronted with their sin, turned from it, and turned to Jesus, and placed their trust in him, they're the only ones who will get in. They've trusted in his perfect life in their place. They've trusted in his death died for them. And they've trusted in his resurrection that beats the enemy that they can't beat. Only those will get in. So we must keep the gospel central. But that's what's coming, church. That's what's coming for us, believers. That's what's coming for us. That's our future. But the question is, what about until then? Like, okay, that's future. I get that. That's coming when Jesus comes back or when I die, which may be a long time from now. So what about until then? We're not there yet. And so God clearly has a purpose for us while we're still here. Like, otherwise he'd just poof us out as soon as we trust Christ and we'd be with him. He has something for us to do until that time comes. Okay, so what is it? This is, again, tying us back to last week with the nature of the church. What is the church? Well, we have to see this tied together. What we saw with the church is that God, from eternity past, planned it. and designed it and built it through his people, through Exodus, through the prophets, through the incarnation of Christ, through the birth of the church at the Spirit's coming at Pentecost, through until today. God's planned it and has built it throughout the Bible. See, God's not a God of chaos. God is a God of order and strategy and planning. Like it was designed in his mind, so to speak, how this is all going to work and what it's going to look like. And so when we think about that, we know that makes sense in our daily lives, that planning and strategy matter, right? Business, you got to have a plan. Your own personal finances, you got to have a plan for that. You got to structure it in a way that's going to help you succeed. It even works in our physical fitness. Like, you know that if you're going to do that couch to 5K thing, you actually have to get off the couch. And you have to have a plan. You have to have a thought. So it's maybe 100 meters the first time, or maybe it's 200 meters. Maybe it's the next week you go a little bit further. You have a plan and a strategy because you want to get to that 5K. And to maximize your results, you set a plan. Now, you could just do whatever you want. You could kind of go work out, lift weights, run a little bit. You get some results, but what happens if you actually sit down with a trainer? You sit down with a coach? You sit down with a nutritionist? And you come up with a plan? Man, you're going to make a whole lot more difference in that, right? It's going to make a difference in you. It's going to be bringing about results. Now, it also makes sense in our personal spiritual lives, right? Like, how many of you have accidentally read the whole Bible in a year? It doesn't happen. Like, you don't just wake up one morning and you have the whole book of Romans memorized. It doesn't happen that way. You have to have a plan, a strategy. You have to think through how you're going to do it. You don't drift into holiness. Like, you don't coast into obedience. It takes work. You have to swim upstream a little bit against your sinful flesh if you want to get any results. And so if that's the way it works in everything else in our lives, then why would we not think that it would be the same for a local church? A plan, a strategy. See, a church could be doing 1,000 things right. But if they're doing it in 1,000 different directions, then we're not really being very efficient. Now, it'll make an impact, yes, because each one of those things is good and it's God-ordained, and yes, it's good. It's going to make an impact, yes, but imagine if all of that energy was focused. It was directed. Jeff Grooms, one of our faithful servant leaders here, he also owns a pest control business. So if you have bugs, call Jeff, right? He was telling me the other day about termites. Yes, gross termites. We're having a conversation about them. But they're incredible creatures, and I want you to hear about them. Did you know that in a colony of termites, on the average, is about 1 million termites? And that colony can forage an entire football field. Now, you know how ants work and bees. You have, there's a queen, right? Well, termites are the same. There's one queen, and that queen, all she does is simply pump out eggs at the rate of 1 per second. That's why you get 1 million termites, right? That's her role. But then what about the rest? What about the rest of the million? Their sole purpose is to one thing, to protect and provide for that queen. Because they want, as that colony, they want that colony to flourish and expand and grow. Their whole purpose is to protect and provide for that queen. And just look at what they do. They forage football fields. They eat the timber of your house, right? Like, they can do so much to protect and provide for that queen because that's their sole purpose in existence. Now imagine if an entire church, all of us, got behind the singular purpose that God has for us uniquely as a church body, And we put aside preferences, we put aside selfishness, we put aside looking out for number one, and we put aside all of that and said to Christ, my life is yours. Your purpose is mine. My purpose is to glorify you and know you and to make you known to the ends of the earth. Just imagine if everyone got on that pathway and was working 100 miles an hour to the same goal. Not committing your life to me and to me as the pastor. You're committing your life to him, following him. Just imagine what God could do. So as a church, we must plan, strategize, come up with these strategies that will help us follow Jesus, who is the head of this church. Because as your body works, your head tells your body what to do, right? Jesus, our head, tells us what to do. And the body is meant to follow, not go in 100 different directions. And then we will see his purpose for us fulfilled. And so here's how we're going to explain this. Imagine that we are all going to get in a 300-passenger van, and we're going to take a trip to California. So to think about that, we have to plan, okay, how are we going to get the van? Which roads are we going to take? Where are we going to go? You got to plan through. If you're going to drive to California, you got to plan through it, right? But then you think about that. Okay, so we've planned it out. We've got this trip. We all stand out in the parking lot. Now, you and I can't see L.A. from here, right? We know it's that direction, and we can think about it, and we've got to plan how to get there, but we can't see it. We would think of L.A. being beyond the horizon, right? Because you know the earth is curved and you can't see it. So it's a whole physics lesson again. But like you can see, you can't see on the other side when you get too far down the road. It's beyond the horizon. Now, if you've planned where you're going, it doesn't matter if you can see it or not, right? Because you know, okay, let's get on I-20, we're going west, and we're going to hit this. See, this exit's where we need to get off, and then we get this direction. If you've planned, it doesn't matter if you can see the end because you know the route to get there. So here's how we're going to talk through this today. I want to lay out what our elders, what our pastors believe is our beyond-the-horizon vision, our goal destination. Like, where are we going? Where's the end that we can then plan how to get there? In other words, what's our long-term destination? Again, we might not be able to see it clearly yet. Like, it's out there somewhere. We don't see it, but we know that if we don't have a direction, then we won't get anywhere very efficiently. I know that some of you love to go on joyrides, right? Like, even this afternoon, some of you are planning on going riding out there and just going wherever, just turning wherever you want to, that kind of thing. That's great, but that's not the way a church is supposed to be. That's not the way a church is supposed to work. Like when you think about it, if you are in a war, you don't go on a pleasure cruise. Like you're focused. We have one mission and we're in war, and so I can't just go do this and that. I got to focus on what God has for us in this war. And since we are in a spiritual war of the highest level, we must focus. We must drill down. We must go to battle as efficiently planned as possible. So, as I lay out this beyond the horizon vision, some of the other elements, like I was saying, that would happen before we get there, they're not as fully hammered out yet. You think of some obstacles that you'd have to cross, mountains, deserts to get to California. Like some of those things, obstacles that we'll have to face as we go and as we progress. Or maybe even some of the things like, what's a milestone that we can see? What's a mile marker? What's an exit sign that we know is coming that we can see? What's one of those that we can handle to help us direct our course? Or even what's some of the baby steps along the way? What are some of those pieces that would help us just take one step towards that goal in the right direction? We're still praying about many of those You'll be involved in many of those as far as deciding what those need to be. But what I want to do today is just give you a glimpse of how those things will work. Maybe not any specifics, but how they will work. And then as we go in the next few weeks and months, those things will begin to roll out and will be much more clear. Because here's what I want you to not only get a picture in your mind of something, which I think this can happen in church sometimes. We get pictures in our mind, we get ideas, and we get vision, but we never get a step to take. Like, we never get actionable steps, ways to get involved, ways for you to own this. It just becomes kind of some idea in my head or in the elders' heads, and it's never actually comes to fruition on the ground. And so we want to do that. We want to make it happen where you can own it and you can hold on to it. Because that's really one of the things that I've grown in the most in the last year. Is organization and leadership. Like, if we're going to go somewhere as a church, that's going to demand a lot of leadership. Not dominion, not telling you everything that you have to do, but leadership to say, that's where we're going. I know we can't see it yet. I know we don't always know how the pathway is going to go, but that's where we're going. Let's go. And that's a lot on me and a lot on us as elders. The second leg of the stool, right? The organization side. To make this thing hum. Because I truly believe in this. I truly believe that God has something special in store for this church. Like, when you look back at the history, like Mary was talking about, when you look at what God is doing in us now and all of those things that we can identify as God-ordained and awesome things, like, I truly believe that he's got something huge in store for this faith family. And I hope I get a chance to be a part of this and to lead this and be able to celebrate with you at what God does. And I believe this vision is not just something that's going to make us feel awesome about ourselves, but it's one that's going to honor the 69 years of investment that people have made, the sacrifices so many have made to get us here. Now, we don't leave the past. We honor it, and we use it as a springboard to head into where we're going. And so here we go. What is this beyond the horizon vision that God is leading us to as a church, that he's birthing within us? So what is it? Well, first, time frame. Let's think time frame. If you didn't know, like I said, Normandale is 69 years old this year, which means that in the year 2022, 6 years from now, Normandale turns 75 years old. That's a big deal. Like, churches don't last that long. 75 years, that's where we're coming up to. And so when we think about that milestone that's coming up, we're not thinking about retirement. We're not thinking about Social Security. We're not thinking about going and living a life and kind of going to pasture, right? What we're thinking about doing is saying, no, let's continue the legacy that started 69 years ago, and let's keep going forward in a way that's going to honor that and even push it forward. Like, the most exciting years of Normandale are ahead of us if we believe God. And so thinking about that 75-year mark, thinking how much of a big deal that is, and for the church, this Beyond the Horizon vision was worked with that 6 years in mind. So 6 years from now, 75-year celebration, what can we do to push us forward as fast as hard as we can for 6 years? And then once we hit that six-year mark, we reevaluate and we plan again and we go ahead and we think through what God has for us at that point. But from this point until then, let's think and plan. So that's the time frame. But I also want to give you an image, give you a picture, give you something that's going to glue this idea in your mind. Because this image is going to be an image that dominates our church and our lives here at the church over the next few years as we pursue the plan that God has for us as a local church. So here's what I want you to think about. I want you to come up with this in your mind. I want you to think about a light source. Maybe however you want to think about it. A light bulb, you know, a spotlight, some kind of lighthouse. Maybe a bulb like this. A light source. Now, I have an engineering degree, and so I took physics. Paul Wynn could probably teach us better than I could. But I'm going to give you a little physics lesson here, and don't doze off as soon as you hear that word. Don't zone out and follow me here. It's free. Did you know that light, visible light, and even all kinds of invisible light, is made up of waves? It's electromagnetic radiation. And so that source of light is putting out waves. Now, if you've just glossed over on me, let me give you an illustration that might get it. You throw a rock in a pond, what happens? Waves radiate out from the source, right? So just think, you can't see it, can't see waves like you can on a pond, but you can see light. And so any of these sources of light are putting out waves, which you think about, how's that work in my body? But that's a whole other discussion. Like, it's putting out waves of radiation into the world from that source of light. So I want you to take that image and lodge that image in your mind of a light bulb or a light source and radiating out, light waves radiating out from that. Now I want us to go to the Bible, and I want us to apply that in a way that's going to help us go forward in our vision. So first we know that Jesus said this. The text is Matthew 5, 14 through 16. This is a key text for us as we go forward. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You'll follow along and read it as I read it. You are the light of the world, he says. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's the old kid's song, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let you. Some of you know that, some of you don't, but that's the image we're getting here, that I'm hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to let Satan blow it out, right? I'm going to let it shine. That's what Jesus said. You are the light of the world. But then, John 8, Jesus says, he is the light of the world. Now wait, is that a contradiction? He says, he's the light of the world, then he says, you're the light of the world. How does that work together? It's not a contradiction. It's what Ephesians 5, 8 says about us, Christians, that at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in what? In the Lord. See, that the light we are is from the light in us. That you don't have light on your own. He makes you light by putting his light inside of you, and it comes out of you. And it shines brightly out of you. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, 2 Corinthians 4 says. His light waves out, radiates out from you as he's put that in you. So this image of light, this idea of a light bulb, for example, think about it in two ways. First, think about it for you individually, Christian, that you are a light source to show Jesus off to the world. That's you as a light bulb, an individual light bulb walking around as a light source pointing people to Jesus. But at the same time, we as a church are supposed to be a source of light to the world, showing Jesus off. That we're a corporate light. I mean, just think about when you put 100, 200, 300, 400 light bulbs in the same place, it gets pretty bright, doesn't it? That's the same image we're getting here. That we are supposed to be a corporate light to the world. From one location, waving out, radiating out to the world around us. Okay, so how do we do that? That's the image. Okay, good. Got an image now. How do we do that? What does it look like for us? What's this six-year beyond the horizon idea all about? Well, the first piece of this beyond the horizon vision deals with spiritual formation, deals with growth, deals with spiritual maturity. See, we believe that to continue Normandale's legacy, we envision developing a simple pathway that will brighten the hundreds of light sources that God's already given us. That's you. That you're here, your light bulbs, and so we're developing this process to help you. Now, kind of think of a light bulb that's been sitting in your garage too long. It's all dirty and nasty. If you'd plug that thing in, man, it wouldn't give off the light it's supposed to give off, right? So what do? You clean up, you wash it off, those kind of things? Well, that's part of this process, this development process, because that's going to help you shine brighter. Or you think you have a 40-watt bulb in there right now, and you go to Lowe's and you pick up an 80-watt bulb or a 100-watt bulb, and you plug that thing in, and that's going to be a bit brighter. So part of this process is simply brightening you as bulbs, cleaning it up, increasing the wattage so that you shine brightly and more brightly. Okay, so what is this pathway then? Well, if you're going to be in town, I would encourage you to be here next week because we're going to talk a lot more about that as we go. But here's the basics. This pathway is obedience-based discipleship. It's a simple pathway focused on Jesus and his commands and obeying those. It's a process that is biblically empowered, it's spirit-inspired with us, in us, and it's relationally charged, that it's groups of just a few people walking together in a way that's going to help them obey and it's going to hold them accountable to it. You can go all over the scriptures and see how every one of us needs a challenge, needs somebody to sit across from us and say, you need to be sharper. Here's the gospel, I love you, he loves you, let's be sharper. Not just a Bible study, not just a large class where you might be able to hide, but an actual transformation by the gospel group of just a few, like Jesus had, where he poured in deeply to a few, and those few changed the world. That's the process we're talking about here. And so we envision that within 6 years, every one of us are engaged in a group like this, being transformed by the gospel and by actually obeying God's word, that all of us across the board are sitting around a group of a few and walking in obedience to Jesus in his grace and gospel. But then here's what we see happening as a result. See, as that transformation begins to happen in us, as it occurs in us, as our bulbs become brighter, that light, again, radiates outwardly to our community. The light waves stretch farther and farther. More watts mean more distance away that it can shine, right? And what that light does is it penetrates into the thousands of homes right around us who are dim places and have little to no light of God in them. It also radiates out from this location, as you just heard two of our teenage girls share about. It radiates outward to the ends of the earth, to the people groups around the world, many of whom are completely dark. There's not one source of light within them. No believers, no light bulbs. So as we brighten, as we see our lights brighten, as our church light brightens, it spreads, getting to those unreached people groups as well. So this process doesn't stop ever until we see this process produce thousands and thousands of people who are becoming sources of God's light over time. Like this isn't just for us. This is for the nations. This is for our community. This is for our families. Like you think of a lantern. If you've gone camping, a lantern or a street light, it puts out a circle of light on the ground. You have a circle of light as well. You have an influence, and those people who are in your circle, those are yours. Like, God placed those children, those neighbors, those coworkers in your circle of light on purpose for you to be the one to carry the light of Christ to them. That's what he put them with you for. And as our bulbs are brightened from here, as our transformation affects those around us, we can see very tangible results happening. We can foresee things like families being restored, being strengthened. We can see neighborhoods turned upside down by the unexplainable kindness of our members. We can see unreached people groups around the world eternally transformed by the gospel because of the risks our members take to get it to them. What an incredible picture of the light of Christ in us radiating outward to the world around us. That it will make a difference, church. It will change the world. But if you want to measure and test anything in your life to see if it's really effective, you've got to put some measurables on it, if you can. And so we wanted to put some numbers on this. We wanted to say, 6 years from now, here's where we're going. How are we going to know if we got there? How are we going to know if we're anywhere close to it? And so we put some numbers on it. I already mentioned one of those numbers. That was the 100% involvement in 6 years in this spiritual formation pathway that we're designing. That in 6 years, every one of us is involved in that. But here's another number. That as a result of this spiritual formation process, in the next 6 years, we envision that as we share the light of Christ in our circles that God's given us, as we do that, that we will see 300 people become new sources of God's light as they repent and believe the gospel. Let me say that again. We are asking God that over the next 6 years, he would save 300 people through this faith family. That he would bring from darkness to light 300 people. Now, let me just give you a feel for how many people that is, because we don't think conceptually sometimes. I want you to just look around in this room. It's okay to turn your head and kind of look around. 300 people is roughly the amount of people we have in this room right now. And so what we're asking God for, and what we want you to ask God for, is for him to bring this many people to faith in Christ over the next 6 years. 300 over 6 years. That's 50 a year. That's one per week averaged out. And don't, listen, when I say numbers, don't just think that's numbers. Those are individual people. Those are people who God cares about. Those are people who are lost, who are walking in darkness. And listen, there's a lot of them out there. Did you know that 100,000 people live within 5 miles of our church building? 100,000 people within 5 miles. And over the next 10 years, they're saying that 50,000 more people are coming within 5 miles of our church building. That's a huge responsibility that God has given us. Now, thankfully, we're not the only church in that 5 mile radius, right? We don't have to go find them all. We don't have to try to save everybody. Others should be doing the same things. But think about how many people in that number are not being reached. Census data says that over 1 million people in Tarrant County claim no church affiliation. Over 1 million people in our county say church doesn't matter. There's plenty of work left to be done. That's why it's wartime. It's not peacetime. We're in wartime. Even in our own neighborhood, there's plenty of work to be done. And we cannot sit back and assume they're going to come to us anymore. We are long past the day when it was expected for people to go to church. They don't even care anymore. And if we want to see them come to know Jesus, we must think like church planters, we must think like missionaries, and we must go to them and love them well and tell them about this hope of Jesus Christ. And so the mission is glorifying God, knowing Christ, and making Him known. That's the unchanging, biblical, God-commanded mission of the church. What changes, though, is the strategy every year or every 6 years, how we get there. So again, the six-year vision is every one of us on a simple and repeatable, that you can go do it with somebody else, process of spiritual growth and development in your formation to know Him better. But the second piece is actively making Him known in our circles of light. So much so that we see 300 people over the next 6 years come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? And as I said before, in the coming months, we're going to be rolling out more of this to move us towards this beyond the horizon vision. But let me just give you a glimpse of some of the things that we're praying through to help us get, remember, beyond the horizon. We've got to have some tools to get there. So how are we going to get there? Well, we're going to put through things like evangelism training, like how to have a conversation about Jesus with a neighbor. That is not as daunting as you might think it is, but you just need to know how to do it. So evangelism training, we'll run through some things like that. We're going to have a team come in and study our finances, and we're going to have them give us some advice on how to get on track financially so that we can fund this mission more effectively. The 24/7 Faith Resource Center that we've talked about a little bit, but actually putting it into place, funding it, building it out, ongoing training activities for people to live a 24/7 faith. And then probably one of the most key ones is developing that curriculum that will help us on that spiritual pathway. Like, what does that look like to use something for me, and then I can turn around and use it for somebody else, that all of us can go and make disciples? Coming up with that is a big piece of this puzzle, because we want to give you handles, not just tell you about it, actually give you ways to do it. Now, here's the thing. As I talked about those numbers, I talked about 300, 100,000, 50,000. I talked about all these numbers, all of us involved. You might think, man, there's no way we can do that. Well, let me be honest with you. You're right. You're right. We can't do that, which is why we must pray. Like, only God can do this. He is the power source for us to be lit up. Plus, success is up to Him anyway, right? Success is not that we make sure we hit that 300 number in 6 years, so we manipulate things and kind of do things to make those numbers bump up a little bit. That's not success. Success is obedience. It's faithfulness to what He's called us to do. And 1 Corinthians 3 says, the fruit's up to Him. So we just want to be faithful, be obedient to everything He's called us to be, and He will bear the fruit He wants. But we've got to have a direction. But you might be thinking also, man, that's going to kill that staff. There's no way those guys can handle that. Like, it's just three of them. Like, what? They can't handle that stuff. Again, you're right. There's no way that I and Dave and Brent and Nick and Sonia and he, there's no way we can do this. It's going to take everybody. It's going to take everyone. It's going to take everyone praying, humbling ourselves before the Lord, getting on our faces before God. Let me just give you one way to do that, to start this Wednesday. The elders, we've called for a day of prayer and fasting for this and for finances and for the debt and all these things, to just model and lead, get on our faces before God. So Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. or at noon or at 6:30 that night, we're going to gather here together, having fasted and sought the Lord and pray corporately at all three of those times. You can come at any of those if you want, or all of them. And just seek the Lord together, saying, God, we want to do what You want us to do. We want You to provide for us. We need You to do this or anything else. And we're just going to start with that. Hopefully that leads to a prayer ministry that begins to fight spiritually for us, and we will see that start. It takes everybody praying. It also takes everybody serving. Like, we already need more people to work in the back. We have so many kids. to disciple these kids and teach them about Jesus. We already need more of that. If we would grow like this from our area, we're going to need exponentially more people to work with the kids. We'll need more greeters. We'll need more deacons. We'll need more van drivers. We'll need more of everything. We'll need everybody to be involved. It'll also take everybody giving. Like, we're planning outreach opportunities. We're talking about meeting practical needs in our community. We're talking about planting churches and sending out mission teams out of the people here. That all takes money. So we need everybody getting active financially. But it also means everyone's got to be involved going and making disciples. Let me illustrate this for us. Everybody being involved with this. So I want you to find your candle. Grab your candle that you had. You're going to need it in a second. Let me give you a little bit of a warning. We're going to shut all the lights off here in a second. So if you're a little weird with the dark, or if you know somebody who is, maybe you or yours are a little something going on with that, I want you to just be aware it's okay to slip out right now, but in a few moments we're going to shut all the lights off. So just to prepare for that. But what I want us to do today, here's why. You'll get it as we're going through it. Here's what I want us to feel today. I want us to try and remember, or maybe for the first time, understand what it means to be in darkness spiritually. Some of you can remember very well what it feels like to be in darkness spiritually. Others of us need to be broken to really feel it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to shut off the lights now. We're going to shut off the projectors now. And I want us to just soak in this lights off idea. I want you to feel that for a second. Like, it's shocking to go from light to dark. It's shocking to go into a dark place after being in the light. But here's what happens over time. You get used to it, and you start to be able to see some of those things that you couldn't see before, and you just kind of make it like this is normal. This is what the Bible says those who are without Christ are in spiritually. So just try to imagine walking across the room like this. That's a daunting task. Let me show you what happens. See what this one little light does? It sure brightens up at least a small circle pretty well, doesn't it? And we can see how, as Christ calls us the light of the world, how he makes us as Christians the light of the world, how that begins, how that works. Now, I hope you see how much of a difference one light can make, but here's the thing. Many people lament the loss of culture and the darkness of culture. I'm okay with that because what it means is that light shines that much brighter in darkness. Now, I'm pretty content with my light. I love having light. I can see my notes. I can see my Bible. I can function. I can walk down the stair. I can do things. How are you going to get the light? Now, this isn't magic. Like, I could just snap my fingers and all of you have the light pop up on your candles. No, it means that I actually have to go to someone. And so what I do is pass the light to someone else. And so now two of us are lit up. It's really exciting to have light, but all of you are still sitting in darkness, right? Okay, so now what if I try to go around and I try to light everybody's candle? Like, all right, I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna light everybody's candle. I'm gonna I'm going to be the one to carry the light to the world, and I get paid to do this, and this is going to be my responsibility, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make it happen, right? It would take forever to get to all 300 of you, right? But that's not my responsibility, to carry the light to everyone. Those of you who have the light, I want you to start turning around and start passing it to those around you. I want to show you the power of multiplication. See, as we carry our light to someone else, and we in turn start passing it on to those around us, watch how the room begins to light up. See how much quicker it goes. As I share with one, and I see one, and then you share with one, and you share with one, and you see the light start to spread and things start to brighten up a little bit. And the process went much quicker, didn't it? Look around and see how much brighter the room is now. So you want to know how the gospel transforms 300 people in 6 years? Exactly like we just saw it happen. You carrying the light that's in you to those around you. Every one of us engaged, every one of us involved, every one of us in the process of spiritual growth and in mission. Because this is what you were created for, church. This is what you were saved for, church. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. Once you did not receive mercy, now you have received mercy. See, it's the gospel in us that compels us to go proclaim it. He's made you new in order to proclaim him to all the ends of the earth. Will we unite our candles together with one purpose, to make him known to the ends of the earth? Will we do that, becoming a bright spot? Look at the light, look at the room, how much brighter it is when not just my candle or not just a few candles, but all of our candles are going strongly, and how much brighter they can be. Will we be that for this dark world? Or, I want you all to blow your candles out carefully right now. Or, will we hide it under a basket and leave the world around us in darkness? Let's shine brightly, church. Let's own this. Let's take this. Let's go forward in this. All of us, every one of us, to see Jesus made known as we know him better.